Good morning. Morning. Great. Good to see all of you. My name is Nelson. It's been a while since I stepped on stage, take the pulpit. I want to acknowledge Shirley, who was once my life group leader back then, 2019. And I love her energy, you know, fervently, you know, every day, so much energy. Just now I was talking to Pastor Eugene, how to find her kind of energy. So I hope to level that today. If you are new or you have not been following us, we are in this series, as Pastor Sean just shared. 2 weeks ago, we started this during Easter. We believe, okay? So we started off with the doctrine of Jesus by Pastor Sean. Then last week, we have a pastor from Philippines, an international pastor, Pastor Michael Pedadres, share with us the doctrine of the gospel, the scripture, which is the Bible. And this week, I'm tasked to talk about the gospel of, the doctrine of creation and fall. Can everyone say this, repeat after me? The doctrine of creation and fall. Okay. Yeah. So if you have read that book before, We Believe. If you haven't, you can actually go and buy outside. We sell it at the counter. You would see that there are five little small parts of what we believe in the doctrine of the creation and fall. Let me read it to you. So the first one is, God made all things good. When he created all things, he said good. And then when he created man, he said very good. And God governs everything that he made. And God made humans in his own image. This one can be found in Genesis chapter 1. Okay. Then number 4, problem comes. Human rebel against God. That's the fall. And because of that, sin entered into this world. And we all inherited sin. We don't work to gain sin. We don't do anything to become a sinful person. We inherited sin. We born as a sinful person. All humans are sinful. To give you guys a picture of how the creation and fall looks like, okay? So let me ask you guys, what is Puchong famous for? Jam. Oh my goodness. I thought you would say people. Very warm. You see? Everyone, when I step up, good morning. Everyone say good morning. Okay, maybe all of you are not from Puchong. Like me. Okay. Then anyone know? So I stay in Kepong. Does anyone know what does Kepong famous for? Oh, so Jam. Gangster. No, food. Okay. Okay. Food. Okay. So, fun fact, Puchong has a very great mall called IOI Mall. In Kepong, we hope to have that kind of mall as well, but we only got Aeon Mall. And there are only 2 stories, okay? It's a very good mall, very vibrant. So last week, my wife, my daughter, and I, we were walking in the mall, you know, at the ground floor. Very happening. So it's like our one utama. And then there was this booth. A lady suddenly called, "Handsome." So I'm like, you know, I just wanted to say this. Words has power. Even this morning, Pastor Stephen saw me, "Handsome." It makes me want to come to church more. And Pastor Mark, 2 weeks ago at Easter, told me that at his age, the men calls each other handsome. Because once you get married and got kids, your wife hardly calls you handsome anymore. Probably like husband or lao kong or whatever, not handsome, okay? So they call each other handsome and then make the man comes to church more. So next time, you can call another man, not the woman to man, only man to man, handsome, so that they come church more. Okay, so side note, that one, okay, words has power. So come back to this, handsome. So I turn around. A lady was calling me, indeed. And I'm like, yeah. They say, oh, we have this free trial. You can test your health screen. So free of charge. Then she said in Cantonese, "Ayo, le kam leng chai, you so handsome. Come, I'll give you for free." So I'm like, free, okay, let's go. So I do it. Within 3 minutes, I did 3 tests. The calcium test, to test what is my calcium level like, very good. To test another one, my muscles test, how is my strength like, oh, very good, I'm strong. So I don't remember all that kinds of what technical term it is. But the one that I remember was cholesterol test. My goodness. So after, as soon as she took my blood, put it in the thing, and then 1 minute later, the result came out. Another lady, this time a Malay lady, said, Amboy, tinggi niya, very high. She said, the normal one should be lower than 5.2, but mine was 6.5. And then she was genuinely concerned for my health. She asked me a lot of questions. Did you see doctor? When was your last time you do a health check report? Did you take medication? I said, I'm young. Do I need to take medication? She said, you have to take care of yourself. It's your body. Later, your heart will have problem and all that. Please go and see a doctor. She is genuinely concerned for my health. And then she said, go see a doctor. And of course, at the end, she said, you can buy my products too. I wonder, it is so relatable, I thought, to today's topic. I wonder how many of us is like that. You know, the minute, 1 minute ago, she calls me handsome. 3 minutes later, she say, inside of me is dirty. It's not good. It's dark. And I thought about it. How many of us look good today? I put on a jacket. I come to church. On the outside, we are good. But on the inside, there could be chaos. There could be formless void. Darkness, that we need Jesus. Okay? When we talk about the creation, does anyone know what does that mean? When we talk about the creation, we will always link to know that there is a creator. How do we know that? When we look at a building, there is a builder. When we look at a painting, come on, not a rocket science, we know that there is a painter. Everything that we see on this earth, the birds in the sky, the fish in the seas, the way that it was built, how the fish breathed through its gills, how the eagle could fly and have a very good eyesight and catches its fish, and how the cheetah could run so fast to go after its prey. Everything was designed for a purpose, and that includes human. I had the opportunity to partner with God and also my wife to create a new creation in this world. Our daughter, she is here. She is almost turning 3 years old in 2 months' time. All right. I remember when we first got her at home, me and my wife could just sit down. How many of you parents are like that? We just look at your newborn. Oh, so cute. And the moment she first opened her eyes, oh, she can open her eyes and turn her eyes. Oh, she can look left, look right. And then the first time when she speak, wow, so beautiful, your voice. And me and my wife still remember the first time when she laughed, she giggles, we were like, oh, that melts our heart, right? And also, the way when the moment first time after she learned how to crawl, we were in a hotel room, the first step that she took by herself to run and towards me. And we were like, wow, she could walk now. Everything that God created her for, the eyes, the nose, the ears, the mouth, and the leg, it all works perfectly as it is that God intended it to be, right? And one thing that I thought she outgrown what God meant for good, right? She did very good was the way that she speaks. She could articulate very well. You know, she, when one time me and my wife was watching a funny video on Instagram, she turned away and then she ran and then she cried. We were like, what happened? And then she said, Mama, I'm jealous. I'm like, who taught you that word? And then even there was one time we were putting her to bed, all the lights are off, and then suddenly she said, I want to go to the toilet. How many of you parents know that is a lie? Because when the moment she comes out, she did not actually go to the toilet. She just wants to hang out at outside. And then me and my wife was like, who taught you to tell lies? As innocent as, you know, the world thinks, a baby would not sin. She started to learn by herself. She did not learn it through us, but she is a sinful person. And she knows how to tell lies at a very young age. So I've told you guys two very brief stories just to capture how creation and for how God created everything and designed for a purpose and how humans are sinful in nature, okay? I think I've summed that up. But today, I actually have pondered this through and thought, what do we want to bring and take away out of this sermon? And I want to attempt to tackle this question, which is, what is the original intention, that the purpose of the creation of human beings by God? Okay? Before we start reading scripture, let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. God, I pray that today, as I speak, it will not be just a lecture that everyone would just come and listen to a history book. No, God, we are not doing that. God, I pray that today, as we walk away, we will know that, God, you created us for a purpose. There is an original design that, God, you intended for us, that in this world, we are not meant to just live and go. But, God, there is a purpose for all of us in this room. So, God, I pray that you use me as your mouth speak and pierce through every single person's heart today. Open all our ears. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to go through Genesis chapter 1 and then 2 a little bit. I'm going to read through it so you guys can follow me. If you have your Bible, you can turn your Bible. If not, you can watch the screen, okay? So Genesis chapter 1, the creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So notice this. Creation came about when God first started speaking. God said. And God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. So first day, God created light and darkness. So because of that, he called it day and night. And then second day, he created sky and waters. So God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called it, called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, again, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Then there was dry land called earth. And then the waters that were gathered together, he called seas. And again, he said, it was good. Then we have the third day. God created plants and trees. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which in their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God again saw it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. Okay, very quickly. The fourth day, sun, moon, stars. Let there be lights in the expanse of heaven, separated the day from the night. Then we have the sun, the moon, and the stars. So verse 17, so I skip a bit. And God set them in the expanse of heaven and to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from darkness. God again saw that it was good. Then came the fourth day. Fifth day, animals of sea and air. You can go back and read by yourself. I've read it many times. This day, fifth day, God created animals, living creatures, birds, flies in the sky, and then the creatures that is in the sea, all according to their own kinds. And God again saw that it was good. Now the sixth day, God created land and animals. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, living stock, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds, everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Verse 31, and God saw that everything that he had made, behold, it was very good. And there was evening and morning the sixth day. If you are reading it for the first time, it is very interesting. I remember the first Bible I've ever gotten, and the first thing that I read was Genesis 1. It opened up my eyes because it is as if God is telling all of us, he created everything. Heavens, earth, the creatures, then man, right? And we can talk a lot different. We can talk about Genesis 1 in a very different way, a lot of different things that we can dissect and expand, okay? For example, if you know in Hebrew, the word in the beginning, the very first word is actually Bereshit. And it's actually the same meaning of Genesis, which is in the beginning, right? And if you read the word, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. There was 10 letters in this first sentence. But in Hebrews, there's actually 7. Because why? God started to introduce, you can see the pattern throughout the scripture. The perfect number 7, God introducing it at the right beginning of the first sentence. And then we could see when he said good, how many times there were good mentioned in Genesis 1? 7, okay? So 6 times he said good, the 7th time he said very good. And also one more thing that is very interesting, which I don't think it is a mistake. When you read this, the first day, was it morning first or evening first? It was evening first. So it says it was evening and there was morning, first day. Second day, the same. Third day is the same. Evening, then morning. Evening, then morning. Evening, then morning. So it shows the day that God counted was started from evening, not morning, not the way that we thought it is. In Jewish culture, Sabbath started from Friday evening, right? So there are a lot of things that we can dissect and look into it. But today, I want to focus on this word, good, and very good. So good, when we read this, it's not human or the things are good, but it conveys the suitability, the beauty, and functional completeness of God. When God created everything, it operates according to his design and meets his standards. The elements of creation, all the plants, animals, light, trees, whatever that he created, they all live in a balanced and fruitful harmony way. One of the, I think, the best miracle that we ever seen in this world, that everyone could know there is a God, is creation. Because everything that he created all lives in such a harmony that it does not contradict, it does not eat each other. They just live and flourish in each own way. And when God created man, he said, very good. Why? Not because we are very good. Not the man is very good. But because of the quality, it marks the end of the completion creation week on the sixth day. That it, when we read this, it elevates the status of the completed creation from simply good to very good, indicating that it was perfectly fit for its intended purpose and meets God's approval. The word that when I researched and I thought this is so good to simplify on this very good word, it says it is a quality sense of functionality that they all live in the balance and beautiful and flourishing harmony. the success in design and execution of all that it was created, and God called it very good. So we all are created part of God's plan, and when He created man in His image, He called it very good. Now, let's go to number two, Genesis chapter 2, very quick. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Then God put man to sleep, take a rib from his flesh, and then make woman. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So the original intention that God created human beings in the beginning was, number one, to know God and have a relationship with God, where it was direct, unbroken fellowship with God, and there is no fear and no separation. And number two, we are to reflect God's nature. We made in His own image. Holiness, love, righteousness, it's clear and without distortion. And number three, God called us to have dominion over all the things in this world. Humanity supposed to rule and cares for the earth in harmony with God's will. And number four, to participate, work partnership with Him to be fruitful and multiply. So it is a joyful thing that we can participate in life-giving experience in this world. And the fifth one, to have relationship with another. When God created woman, we are supposed to have perfect unity, openness, intimacy, where we are naked and unashamed. And God said, it is not good that man should be alone. So all these are the original intention that God intended us to be. Okay? Now, here comes the problem. Everyone say, the fall. The fall. Okay. So when the fall comes in chapter 3, we read that the serpent was tempting woman. Verse 4, but the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open." Eat of it is the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And then he said, "You will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of it its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and she ate. Good wife. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked and sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloth. Now, how many of you know that problem comes when we started want to elevate ourselves like God? It marks the beginning where the serpent was telling woman that you will be like God. And we want to take control of everything in our lives. We want to be exactly like Him. We no longer want to depend on Him. We want to know what is good, what is evil ourselves. Clearly, the words that in the beginning, Genesis 1 and 2, where we hid the word of God, now it becomes we hid the word of the serpent. And I still remember I thought this is so relatable. Back in 2018, when my wife and I, we were just friends, and then she told me this powerful words. She said, "Jesus loves you," after we attended a service. And then I said, "No, He don't." Then she said, "God loves you." And then I said, "I don't need God. I am my own God. I can dictate my own life. I am in control of my well-beings. I work, I earn, I live, I do whatever that I want. That's my life. You do you. I do me." That's how the world thinks. And it reflects here. When we try to be like God, problem comes. they were not supposed to take what they don't take. I'm not going to attempt the theology question today here. You can go to Discovery God next week. Why God put that tree there? Was God supposed to tempt men? Why men go and choose that one of so many trees? God, you already know. Why you still put it there? Adam, all you have to do is just one job. Don't take that tree. Now all men sin, right? You can ask all that kind of question during Discover God. I want to invite all of you to go. A very good platform, okay? Now, when God, the Lord God called man, he was walking in the morning, you know, want to commune, want to relate to man. Then he already know. Then he said to him, where are you? Actually, he knew. And he said, where are you? And then man said, oh, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. You know, the Bible just came alive, very real. When I look at my own daughter, just a couple of days ago, she said something that upsets us. And we say, please say sorry. And she said, no. She threw all her toys out of the bucket and she hid herself in the bucket. And I'm like, hey, say sorry. She said, no, you cannot see me. You know, you get more angry. I'm imagining how Adam and Eve was like. When sin comes, just like human beings, we try to work our way to be safe. The fact that they, when first sinned, they still fig leaves to cover themselves. It's work-based. And they hide. I'm imagining how Adam hides. God can see you. Right? And that becomes what happened when first original God intended us to be and after. Okay? We supposed to have relationship with God. It was unbroken, direct, no fear. The relationship severed. Fear replaces intimacy. Humans hide. And in the end, chapter 3, they are expelled from the Garden of Eden. Image of God is supposed to reflect his nature. The image has become distorted. Shame, guilt, self-centeredness, blame. Blame each other. The woman you gave me, lah, make me eat. Right? Partnership with God, supposed to have dominion over all things in the world. Our stewardship has become frustrated. Works has become toy. The ground is cursed. If you read, it says it has grown thorns and thistles. Labor has become difficult. Man lost dominion and earth was cursed to oppose him. And number 4, participation with God. It's supposed to be fruitful and multiply. Fruitfulness has become difficult, painful. God said, it will multiply your pain in childbearing. All the moms know. And in pain, you shall bring forth children. And the last one, supposed to have relationship with one another, unashamed, open intimacy. And then we read, the relationship has broken. Blame one another. There are tension and power struggle. Women, you will serve men. And we blame one another Genesis chapter 3, okay? So this is what happened before and after. Now, here's the good news. Can everyone say, but God? But God came for us. There is a redemption over here. When we first see Genesis 3:21, this marks the first sacrifice that we will see in the Bible, okay? The Bible says, the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. So the cost of of sin, of what they committed, is to have a sacrifice. So it's to obtain the skins and an animal had to die. So the first sacrifice was actually the animal. And it tells us that an innocent life must be given to cover the guilty, foreshadowing what our Lord Jesus Christ came to do. Then we see verse 15, where God was actually in verse 14 cursing the serpent. He says, you will eat dust and on your bellies you will walk. And verse 15, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heels. In this verse, God actually switches from condemning the serpent to the one who inhabited it, Satan. When he cursed Satan to be forever at war against mankind, enmity between you and the woman. Depicted as the seed of the offspring of the woman. The woman in this place is Eve herself, okay? Mother of all living. And that all those of whose offspring would forever be harassed by Satan and his minions. And at this point, sin enters the human race and then it destructs us and the consequences just repeats down to us. So in short, we all inherited sin. Since then. And let me read this. I thought it's very good. It did not end there. When we read the offspring of the woman, verse 15 here, it actually refers to Jesus Christ, who was born of a woman, a virgin birth. The enmity or hostility, that hatred spoken here, is between Satan and Christ. The seed of the serpent, evil man, demonic forces, struck at the heel of the Savior when Judas, Pharisees, rabbis, Romans, all condemned him, ultimately led him to being crucified. But his wound and death is not the final act. After 3 days, this is the good news, he rose again. And the ultimate victory was his. He crushed the head of the Satan, removing forever his rule over man. And the power of Christ destroys Satan and all his principalities and powers, confound in his all in his schemes and ruin all his works. In short, God did not stop where man keep on sinning. If you read the entire Bible, 4 major themes: creation, fall, redemption, and at last, restoration. There will be second coming of Jesus. There will be new heavens and earth. When we first read creation, then man fall. And then throughout the Old Testament, you will read how God saves, redeems, bring forth Israel out of Egypt, and then they demanded for a king. Then man sinned again, then God saves again. Then God says, hold on, I will put this once and for all. There were so many prophecies that was fulfilled, more than 300. And in New Testament, that shows how God actually did it, conquering sin. This is the good news. If today, what we are meant to be when God first created us, He meant to have a relationship with us. And ultimately, God's story is a love story written for you and me. And out of love, He created man. Man sinned. And out of love, He sent His Son to come and die for us on that cross, so that we can be reconciled and come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this verse, this quote. My wife shared me. Good wife, always share things. From West Huff. It says this: justice is getting what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Have you guys fully surrendered your life to God today? Our life is not just about jobs, career, all that. I think ultimately Our life has a purpose. And we are to know God and to connect with Him. This is what I thought. The purpose of life is to know God and enjoy His presence. Surrender all of ourselves, partner with Him, and live according to His purpose for His glory. Can I invite all of you to stand? I want to close with a prayer, and then we go to into a time of worship for a bit, and then Pastor Sean will come up. When I thought about original creation, it amazed me because, wow, the one who created everything in this world calls me His children. How beautiful is that? If you're standing here today, you could close your eyes. This is between you and God. If you're standing here today, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, you have not surrendered your life to Jesus. I want to make this time an invitation for you. If you have surrendered, but like me, sometimes I struggle. I broke down once. I told Pastor Sean, it's not about me, my daughter. I cannot surrender her. And you want to tell God today, I want to surrender to you all of ourselves, all my life. And I want to know you. I want to partner with you. I want to live according to your purpose. God, this time is the time. God, I want to pray for this group of people. Surrendering looks tough. In war, we know surrender looks like we lost, we are coward. But God, in faith, surrender looks strength. Surrender looks like we have full of trust in you. Imagine, man, today you are on a boat in the middle of the sea. Man tries to scoop up waters and hold it in your hands. And you realize that the water just slips out of your hands. When you try to take control of your own life, it looks like that, where things will fade and go away in our short lifespan. But surrendering to God and know God looks like this, that you have a God whose grace is like the seas of waters. You can just trust in Him and come to Him, that His grace is sufficient for you. So Lord, I want to pray for all of us today. May you touch our hearts. May we no longer try to cover ourselves with fig leaves. May we no longer do work-based, but put our trust in you, the creator of the world. God, today, you can repeat after me if you want to surrender to God, okay? God, today, I want to know you. Come into my life. Touch me, Lord. I will follow you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.